The Digital Production Buzz at NAB is sponsored by Maxon and Thalo Arts.
Welcome back to day one of the NAB show in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Larry Jordan. The Digital Production Buzz is talking with Travis White of New Blue Effects, Philippe Ronaldo of Firefly Cinema, and AJ Herrera of Coringo. All of it live from the trade show floor right now at NAB.
Live from the 2017 NAB show in Las Vegas. Media, technology, products, news. Connecting media professionals around the globe with the latest in technology. The NAB show Buzz starts now.
And welcome back. My name is Larry Jordan. This is the Digital Production Buzz at NAB. We're on day one of the four-day trade show, and it has been an exciting time learning about some of the new announcements from a wide variety of companies, not just in software, but hardware and infrastructure as well. Joining us today is Travis White. He's the CEO of New Blue Effects. Hello, Travis. Good to have you with us.
That's good to have you.
So tell us what New Blue Effects is for people that haven't heard.
New Blue Effects is an effects company, software company, that does both effects for post and titling for post and live.
What got you into this?
What got us into this is we saw the need for effects that were much more accessible and quick and save the billable hours of the end producer or that editor, right? And we got into those effects. And as we got into there, we got into the different video editors, NLEs. We noticed that the titling solutions out there were a little thin, a little basic that came with the NLEs. And we decided, hey, that's a need. Let's go after that. And we designed Entitler Pro, which is a 2D and 3D animated titling solution. And then we said, you know what? There's another market that needs motion graphics, right? And that's the live market. And that's what we're really here today at this show, getting into our next generation of our live application that is based on the same format as our post application. So we're really starting to see a synergy and a cross-pollinization of the designs and the data coming from live to post to live, back and forth, and we have a solution for that.
Well, before we talk about the solution, I want to keep you employed because our database typed you as the CEO and you're actually the VP of products.
That is correct.
So I do not want to have you go home and have yourself get hung out to dry. So tell me about the live stuff, because the post titling I've heard about a lot, but not the live.
Yeah, so at this show, we're showing the next generation of Titler Live Broadcast, it's called. So Titler Pro versus Titler Live, right? And Titler Live is an engine that can work on any machine, really. So you have a decent gaming platform or just graphic laptop, and you can get to bigger machines. And what it does is it provides playout of 3D animated graphics for sports, for live events, for news. And you can use that on a variety of switching platforms that we're compatible with. We're compatible with Wirecast, vMix, NewTek, you name it. And that really has to do with like any content that you want. So that's actually another thing we're introducing is After Effects Project Import. We all know the power of After Effects and what it can achieve. And we also know kind of the rendered effort that it goes through as well. People make massive render farms for After Effects projects, right? Well, we're able to export from After Effects and bring that in as a templatized workflow within Titler Live and then change out the variables in real time. So we have any content and PSD, you know, vector formats, all that kind of stuff, right? So any content, any platform, the different ones I was talking about, post, live, the various places, and any kind of production that you want.
That is so cool. Is it shipping or is this announced?
Just about to. It's NAB shipping, which basically within the month will be out there, right?
So what else you got that's new for us?
We also just came out with our new effects product called Filters 5. And that has some great new video effects. And the nice thing to say about our video effects, not only do they work in the post environment, but also you can use those same effects in the live environment as well, because our titling application can also host effects. And not only our own, it also hosts OFX support. So maybe some GenArt Sapphire, some Red Giant. You know, we love everyone, right? So you can bring those effects into your titling and graphics productions and make them available for live.
Well, how are you deciding what effects to create? I mean, there's a lot of different options, and sometimes look at it and say, I can't think of a thing, and other times I've got too many ideas. How do you decide which effect to bring to market next?
It's a bit science, a bit art. if you go out there and say and just go straight to customers, like, what do you want? They usually say, can you make something like the other guy makes? Right? But so what you have to dig a little deeper in that conversation is like, well, what are you trying to achieve? What kinds of productions? What are you looking for? What do you tend to spend the most time on? And out of those discussions with end customers start to bubble up real product ideas. So some of it is seeing the trend of art. Art usually begins in a very manual process, right? You know, people are making something in Photoshop or After Effects, and they're twisting the tools to make a new look that they're going for. And so sometimes we can see ahead in what those kind of bleeding trends are. There's not a tool that does it well. You know, one example is in Filters 5, we have a light leak plugin. Well, most people get light leaks done by going and buying a whole bunch of assets of overlays. Well, those are fixed, same color, right? So we decided, hey, you know what? Let's make an asset-based, because it's very organic, plugin that you can twist all the color. You can twist what the light leak does. You can twist its speed, how its frequency, and all that kind of stuff. So no longer are you pouring through the 50 different overlays you have. You drop the one plug-in on, do a couple parameters, and you're good to go. So there's a variety of ways in which we figure out what is going to be next that people are really going to enjoy.
What's your thought on the new trend toward HDR and VR? Which ones are you watching with more interest?
Both of them are very interesting to us, obviously. HDR, it's just, you know, that is something that we want to plan that space. But we are a host application, right? So we work within the editing solutions, within the switching solutions that are there. So in some sense, we're, you know, when the switching solution is available, we want to be ready with that same scope of technology, right? And provide a graphic or a effect result within that host that can be done, right? So we don't have the limitation. We're kind of waiting for the host in that sense. With the VR, that is something we're still watching and seeing where we can play in that space. Actually, something that's very interesting is our titling application can also be cloud hosted. And so we're entering into the gaming market, for example. And that's something very interesting in that space, is like what we can do there with the integration of gaming along with, you know, what a shot in VR. It's something we're watching. We don't have a specific offering.
It seems to me the challenges of titling in VR are much harder because now you've got to lock it in space mm-hmm. in a way that you don't before.
That is very true. That is very true. And right now there's a lot of different workflows coming together of how that gets accomplished and what kind of mesh you have to work with to understand the environment. And those are all things we're looking at right now. But what we can say right now is hot for us is the live graphics market, because there's really not a lot of, professional is a wrong word, but just that high-end, animated, very glossy, moving kind of graphic, that accessibility, like, you know, companies like Telestream, companies like NewTek and vMix, they're opening up this whole broadcast space.
Well, streaming space.
Yeah, this streaming space that is was really not accessible before, right? And so they're opening that up, and what we have is graphic solutions that are able to meet the kinds of price points that make sense for them, but not limit them. I mean, you know, something like a Chiron or a Ross Expression, you have like a one channel that you buy. You might throw down $8,000, $6,000 for another channel. And what we come along and say, hey, you buy it once, you get the designer with it, you get 16 channels of either NDI, or we have as many SDI streams, key and fill, as cards that you want to put in your machine. So we're really opening it. As far as the ingest of data, we have live scoreboard graphics coming in with a partner, Sportscast from StatCrew, tweets, Facebook, and all that coming in. So we're not penny-pinching at every workflow. Does that make sense? It all comes along with the package. So we're making it accessible for that streaming market.
So for people that want more information, where can they go on the web?
We can go to newbluefx.com.
That's all one word, newbluefx.com. And Travis White is the VP of Products for New Blue FX. Travis, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Take care,
Larry.
Once again at NAB, Maxon Cinema 4D is hosting presentations by the most respected 3D artists in visual effects, motion graphics, and design. This year, there will be 28 unique presentations from 20 different artists. You can see them all at Maxon's booth at NAB in the South Lower Hall, booth 6324. Or, if you're not attending NAB, you can watch them on c4dlive.com. Even better, when you register on c4dlive.com, you'll be entered into a raffle to win from over $24,000 in prizes. Maxon Cinema 4D. Stop by Maxon's booth at NAB in the South Lower Hall, booth 6324, or tune in to the live stream on c4dlive.com. That's c4dlive.com.
Philippe Rinaudo is the CEO and founder of Firefly Cinema, and he joins us now to explain what is Firefly Cinema. Welcome, by the way.
Thank you very much. Well, what is Firefly? That's a good, well, Firefly is actually, well, we are the little light in the night, and that's what we do. We bring lights for the artist, for the DPs, DITs, colorists, and people involved in digital cinematography. And that's what we do for more than 5 years now. And, well, actually, that's what I'm doing myself for more than 25 years.
Well, what got you interested in that in the first place? That's not a normal career.
I think it's a normal career. I mean, I start as a video editor more than 25 years ago, actually. And so I was involved in the digital cinema by chance, I would say. And I started to do some special effects in France. And then I work as a CTO for a big film lab. So that's how I'm involved in digital cinematography.
So what have you got that's new this year? What, have you announced anything for the show?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually, Firefly is not a new company. We are a 5 years old company, and we today on the show floor we showed for the first time the new version of Firefly's software, which is actually the version number six, and we have. Mainly free software. The first one is Fireplay. Fireplay is a free player that you can download on a website. It can play any kind of RAW file, like RED, Sony, ARRI, whatever. And so that's really useful for DOP and people involved in digital cinematography. So you can definitely download it directly on our website, so fireflycinema.com, and it's for free. And the second product is FireDay. So FireDay is a complete tool set for digital dailies, including live grading, including copy, MD5 verification, sound syncing, color grading, and encoding. And so it's a complete tool set, and it's very easy to use, very friendly to use, and actually it's based on a subscription business model, so you don't have to pay for a big amount of money upfront. So you can pay as you use the software. And the third software is FirePost. And FirePost is for post-production, so you can do conform editing and high-end color grading, so as many secondaries you want, shapes, chroma key, whatever. And the nice things with all these products is the fact that all these products are using the same color engine and the same database. So it means that you can have some very nice workflow from the set to the post.
Well, it sounds like you're doing both visual effects and editing. Is that a true statement?
No, we don't do special effects. We do mostly color grading and everything around color. So basically color grading, managing the color space, 3D lookup table, CDL grading, and things like that, but no special effects.
There's a lot of companies that do color grading. And yeah. We look at DaVinci Resolve, and we look at Baselite. How would you fit in with them, and how would somebody decide to use your software versus somebody else's?
Well, I think the biggest difference between Firefly and the other products available on the market is the fact that we, as I said, we have a common, unique color engine for every software, but we have a different interface. So it means that we really design a software for the DPs or the DIT for on-set work, and we have a different interface for the post-production. So we really have a very, very powerful engine, color engine, but we really design the perfect user interface for every user. Because of
So somebody would use your system on set to check the color as they're recording a scene,
yep,
to make sure that they're getting the color that they want,
yep,
before they wrap that scene and strike the set. They can then go back and reshoot if the color isn't correct. So using it for on-set color grading.
Absolutely. We do on-set color grading. For example, we have that kind of workflow. We just finished... one of our customers just finished a film. They shoot actually in New York, in Montreal, and in Budapest. And they actually, they had the possibility to do the color grading on set. The DP was able to control the color in his hotel room, make some modification, and then send all the metadata directly to Paris, where the lab was. And then they create all the H.264, ProRes, and DNX directly in Paris. And a few months after, a third company did all the post-production. So, actually, for the post-production, they automatically apply the color decision done during the shooting.
Who would you consider a typical customer?
As I told you, we are a 5-year-old company, so we have a lots of customers in France. Probably there is, I would say more than 200 feature film French feature film who already use our both software for their production, and every project is different. So sometimes it's a very small production, and they just have one laptop like yours, and they do everything on their laptop on set, and sometimes I said for. This film, so the history of love, there is a multiple people involved. There is a great collaborative workflow with our project, so you can work with many people on the same project. And we can go really from the independent to the big movies.
I have no doubt about that, but are you finding that more independents use you, or more medium-range, medium-priced movies, or studios, or who's the preponderance of customers?
Oh, well, that's a good question. Actually, as we are French, many of our customers are French, and I will say that we are really a good solution for big projects. But big French project. So a big French project is probably smaller than a small independent US movie. So I would say, yeah, we really designed the software to be so easy to use that we are probably more focused on independent movies.
And it's Firefly is the company, Firefly Cinema,
yeah,
but it's a suite of products within Firefly Cinema.
Yeah, there is three products: Fireplay for the free player, Fireday for the digital dailies, and Firepost for the post production.
Very cool. For people that want more information, where can they go on the web to learn more?
Okay, you can go directly to on our website, and the website is fireflycinema.com. And there is a lot of information there. There is also a link on our website to send email. And actually, I will be in charge to answer to any questions. So feel free to send any question you need.
Very cool. On-set color correction and post color grading in post later all sounds like a very excellent thing, especially when you can start with a free player and see what Firefly Cinema has to offer. And Philippe Renato is the CEO and founder of Firefly Cinema. Philippe, this has been a fun visit. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you, Larry.
It's brand new, and it's part of my video training library. Premium subscribers can now access practice media and demo files. These practice files mean that you can follow along with my online training using the same files that I'm using. This helps you learn faster by mirroring what I'm doing. Before, these were only available for purchase in our store. And thinking of benefits, did you know that in addition to live streaming more than 1,600 training movies, premium subscribers can download one webinar a month for free? This means that you don't need to be connected to the web to refresh your memory on how key software works. This benefit alone is worth more than $300 a year. To subscribe, visit LarryJordan.com/membership. That's LarryJordan.com/membership.
We're back at the first day of NAB and talking with AJ Herrera. He's the VP of Marketing for Coringo. And Coringo is a company I've heard about for a long time, but this is the first chance I've actually had to chat with somebody from the company. Hello, AJ. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. Good to be here.
So what does Coringo do?
So at our core, we're object storage. And object storage is kind of a misnomer. You hear storage and you just think it just stores things. But there's a lot of content management, content protection, and content delivery features built into our platform. And the reason you haven't heard of us is because it's our first year here exhibiting. We have been to the show before, but this is our first year exhibiting.
Well, congratulations, and I hope it proves to be a good show.
Thank you.
So my eyes glaze over when I hear somebody talk about object storage, because I'm not storing children's blocks and I'm not storing furniture. What is object storage? And so, why should I care? And does it work? And is it affordable? And just answer the question.
Yes, it's all of those. Yes, I answered. So object storage, it's a different way to store. Think about the way Facebook and all these major web companies store content, store media. At the core, it's object storage. It's massively scalable. It's accessible directly over the internet. And it just has economies, like economics, built into it, all the way from the operations to leveraging commodity hardware. So to answer all of your questions, yes, it works. Yes, you should care about it. Yet you use it every day. You probably don't know.
Now, is this similar to or a competitor with StoreNext?
It is a little different. You know, StoreNext is more for on-premise, high performance. You know, what we have is more to access over the web. As far as how it sits in the ecosystem with the StoreNext, we would be used more as a secondary storage tier, as an archive tier. You know, StoreNext would be primarily within the production process, higher performance characteristics. But we can be used to offload content, media from a StoreNext and keep it for the long term. The benefit you would go with someone like us is you can use any hardware underneath the content, the media, and you can continuously upgrade that hardware without modifying the integrity of the content. So nowadays, nothing's deleted, and you need to keep everything accessible.
Okay, well, let's try and translate this into words that I can understand, because I'm confused.
Sure.
I've got a film project that I'm working on. I'm currently storing it on, say, 3 60-terabyte drives. And I'm sharing it between my team that's generating effects and generating audio and color grading and all the rest of it. Would I use your hardware at that point? Would I use your software? Or am I using you as an archive solution later? Or what?
It really depends on your requirements. You would absolutely use it as an archive tier, as a secondary tier. There are
So I've got Coringo hardware, or is it software?
It's software, but we also have a hardware device. It's software that installs on any servers. We also offer a hardware device if you wish. And in your scenario, let's say you have an Avid setup. We can plug straight in and optimize your Avid share storage, whatever that shared storage is, whether it's ISIS or whether it's one of the third-party products. We can come in, we can optimize it, offload a good portion of your project files to the secondary storage tier. When you need them, when you work on them, they're automatically called back to ISIS or the higher performance storage. And then after you're done, you can go ahead and archive them on our storage in perpetuity for as long as you need to. And the great thing about it is we have content management built in. So let's say you have copyright only for 2 years, 3 years, whatever it may be. you can go ahead and just set a policy that will delete that content after a specific amount of time.
So are you a system where I would need to have you guys come in and do a custom installation, or can I buy something off the shelf and install it? How complex is the installation process?
If you have set up storage devices before, you'll have no problem setting up our storage, deploying it. We do boot from bare metal. We have general systems admins supporting about 20 petabytes. But we do have a number of partners, a number of VARs and SIs. We're showcasing them with them here at NAB. We encourage people to come visit us at booth 12407. They can develop a complete solution for you. So if you want, not only our storage, but if you want support and services beyond what we have to offer, we have a number of different partners that can help.
So I would not put this in place for a particular project. If I was a small production company or even a medium production company, I would bring you in as I'm building my facility so that you're built in at the facility level. So as projects roll in, they're already going on to your system, as opposed to I'm ready to start a new film. I think I'll use Coringo equipment this time.
Yeah, you would most likely have a setup and deployed already. It's really for long-term storage. You really want to use us to really get the value over a period of time. As I mentioned, you can easily upgrade hardware underneath the integrity of the content. So you would probably already have a setup. We're talking large amounts of storage. Usually our deployments are over hundreds of terabytes, if not multiple petabytes in size.
And what have you announced that's new at the show?
We are announcing pretty much our relationships with our partners. We have a really good demo at the booth that goes over the Avid integration I just spoke about. Offloading Avid shared storage and ISIS, optimizing ISIS. We're doing that with Marquis Broadcast and Bridge Digital. So we have a really good demo there. And we're also re-announcing our Swarm NFS interface. So it's kind of a techie term. I'm getting a little storagey on you. But there's a standard storage protocol, NFS. Most of the solutions out here support that. We support writing directly from NFS to object. I know that's getting a little techie, but it's kind of bridging the old world and a new world of storage.
Cool. And I had a really good question. Well, tell me about this new NFS I'm familiar with. Well, what was the other storage technology you were talking about? That you said it was bridging from NFS to...
Oh, that's one of our partners, Bridge Digital. Yeah, and they're helping us. They actually come in with Marquis Broadcast Project Parking. And that software sits with one of our applications, one of our products, that automatically migrates data from Avid shared storage to secondary storage. And it's completely automated.
So by secondary storage, are you talking spinning disk or are you talking tape?
Spinning disk, that's a difference. So if you're in a shop, you're used to archiving something in LTO, but now you have a requirement to keep it online, or you have to reuse it in any way. That's difficult to do in LTO. It takes time, and maybe you won't be able to get to it. With us, it is spinning disk.
That's very cool stuff. Where can people go on the web to learn more about the products that you offer?
Well, for what we're showing here at NAB, they can go to Coringo.com, Caringo.com/NAB2017, or just go to Coringo.com.
That website is caringo.com/NAB2017. And A.J. Herrera is the VP of Marketing of Coringo, making his first NAB appearance. Congratulations. Good luck surviving the show, I might say.
Thank you very much.
But what they've got is secondary storage archiving to make sure that our projects stay safe for the long term and are doing it on spinning media rather than LTO tape, which is a very interesting spin, as they say, on the idea. AJ, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it.
If you think about the range of NAB, this show typified it. We started with effects and titling. We then took a look at color grading and color, especially color grading on set, which is becoming increasingly important as we're trying to shoot high dynamic range material. We have to monitor it on set because it's so entirely different from a lighting and production design and art direction point of view on set, and the folks at Firefly Cinema can help. And then we looked at archiving our material, which is where Coringo comes in. I want to thank our guests, Travis White of New Blue Effects, Philippe Rinaldo of Firefly Cinema, and AJ Herrera, the VP of Marketing at Coringo. The Digital Production Buzz at NAB 2017 is a production of Thalo LLC, where Stephen W. Roth is the executive producer. Our series producer is Debbie Price, assisted by Paige Braven. Our technical crew includes Trevor Horton, Heath McKnight, Leonard Fassler, Melissa Yang, Sud Dongri, and Michael Welch. My name is Larry Jordan, and thanks for listening to the Digital Production Buzz at NAB 2017.
The NAB Show Buzz is copyright 2017 by Thalo LLC. The Digital Production Buzz at NAB was sponsored by Maxon and Thalo Arts.